It's time to enter Mr. B's neighborhood. Scott Bertelson brings you an interview with a North Iowa neighbor each second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 5:30 p.m. Find this and other episodes of Mr. B's Neighborhood on our website, KIOW.com. Now here's Scott Bertelson, Mr. B.
Knock, knock. Who's there? It's Mr. B. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's time again for another episode of Mr. B's Neighborhood with one of the illustrious people from the North Iowa area. And today, my happy listeners, I have the pleasure of bringing into the studio Krista Cosgriff. I said it right.
Yes.
Thank you, Krista, who is the Forest City Public Librarian. And if you've been in our beautiful library, then you've had a chance to see her. And I just think we need to know more about you and your role as a librarian, Miss Krista.
Okay.
So, Krista, the first question I'm going to ask you, and they may not be in the order in which I gave you the questions, all right, is how long have you been the librarian at the Forest City Municipal Library?
25 years.
Kudos.
And I'll be 26 in June.
Oh, my gosh.
So.
Wow. Do they give you any kind of recognition like medals or watches or diamond rings? Or
I retired.
Oh, I see.
But no, I never thought I would be at the public library this long.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
When I look at the changes that have happened since I started, it's mm-hmm. like, wow, I can't believe that, you know, we implemented all of the stuff we did. And
mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Can you give us, I'm just going to feed off that statement, Krista. What can you give us an idea of some of the changes within the building for the patrons in the time that you've been there?
We've rearranged a couple times. One time was when we had to re-carpet, and so we had a chance to move the children's section from away from the eyes of the desk to closer to the desk where we're able to monitor the children, especially for safety. That's always been a big concern, is the people that come in and who may possibly want to do something to a child or abduct them or...
Mm-hmm. Of course, yes.
You know, which has happened.
Mm-hmm.
Not in our library.
No.
No.
No. Mm-hmm. Okay. Have you had quite a bit of a technological advancement, too?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. How can we leave out technology? No. Okay.
We have gone from manually writing a number
mm-hmm.
on cards, which we had to file, and to adding computers, adding the circulation, adding public access computers with internet and Wi-Fi. And it's been amazing what the changes are using a computer. You know, we can go on and search for a book quicker. We can check what you have checked out,
mm-hmm.
You know, when the due dates are for you.
Mm-hmm.
Previously, it's like, it's in a card in the drawer. I don't know if I can find it.
Yes, so, yes, yes.
And we even sorted the cards by kids and adults.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we were checking them back in, it's like we had two different stations. And so it's like, why don't we combine these and then we only have to stand
mm-hmm.
at one spot,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's just a lot of thinking that was redone when I started, which...
Yes.
It was in 97.
Yes.
So I hate to say that. But,
it happens to all of us.
So, well, every time you move into a new place,
yes.
you know, and take over, there's
mm-hmm.
things that
mm-hmm.
need to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
what I did. I
mm-hmm.
didn't jump in right away. One of the first things I did after about 6 months was
mm-hmm.
paint the walls that were orange and red to blue.
Mm-hmm.
I updated the colors.
Yes.
And then we got rid of the orange-red furniture and
mm-hmm.
bought
mm-hmm.
black furniture and
mm-hmm.
brown chairs.
Mm-hmm. 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 Wow. So in the time that you have been librarian, there have been major changes.
Yes.
Yes.
Just even the increasing the size of the collection in different areas, adding DVDs, audio CDs. The Christian fiction section was one of the most popular that was increased, and it still is. And because of its popularity, we have a separate section just for the Christian fiction.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, that's great. So how long ago did you actually bring in CDs and DVDs then? Approximately?
Probably early 2000.
Okay, okay.
You know, there was one, we had probably 10 DVDs when I started, and they were donated, and that needed to be updated, and of course with that comes, you know, the budgeting.
Yes.
You know, to make sure that every year we had enough budget money for the books, and then the CDs, and then the audios, and so that was a trying experience, you know. When I took over, I didn't have budgeting experience, and I learned real quick.
I bet you did. That, again, that leads into another question. You're doing well. So you are given a certain amount of money by the city then?
Yes.
Is that okay?
And also by the county.
By the county, okay.
And the county money allows the rural residents to use the library with no cost. For Winnebago County.
I see.
And then we receive a little bit of state money, which, you know, helps out for those that aren't Winnebago County city residents. There's, you know, three places that fund the library.
Okay. And so then it would be your job as director to decide how the money is going to be used. So is so much allotted for print and so much for visual audio materials, or?
I have everything in book budget.
Okay.
And it's kind of weird when I sit back and look at it, and it's like, oh, I just spent this much and this much, you know, fairly evenly without even trying. So it's like, wow, I can budget. And I do have to keep track, though, for the annual survey, how much money was spent on each area. So
yes.
I have a ledger that I write them in.
Okay, okay. So when you, are you the one then who chooses the fiction that will come into the library or in the magazines? How does that
work? I receive help from the staff and public suggestions.
Oh, I see.
So it's not all my, you know, doing.
Okay. Would that also be in reference to like audio?
Yes.
Okay, okay. Sure, sure. And with that being said, say that a patron comes into the library and they're looking for a piece of fiction, Krista, and you don't have it. You have the means of getting that from another library?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's through a program that, you know, is called Iowa Shares, which is a program through the state of Iowa, and they have a van delivery service.
Oh, okay.
So they, you know, come twice a week to the library and bring materials.
Okay.
And there's no no fees anymore for that, so it's all free. Unless you get it from a college library, and then, of course, it has to be mailed.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
That has grown exponentially, too.
I bet it
has. Know, instead of doing one or two books a month, you know, we're doing one or two books a day, it seems like.
Wow, wow.
We have book clubs taking advantage of getting books from different libraries.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, there's no charge to them, and the cataloging software for borrowing books has a book club section.
Oh.
So it makes it very easy to request the books.
So do you have conference rooms then at the library? If, say, people want to have a meeting there, do they check that out, or do they check out a room, or how does that work?
Unfortunately, there's not a meeting room right now.
Okay.
Due to spacing and storage, we had to take over the meeting room. So that's, you know, not very good for us as a public library, but it was a have-to situation.
Now, saying that you're running out of space, so to speak, that leads right into my next question. That is there going to be a relocation of the library? And what can you tell us about that, Krista?
That has just come out last week as a joint proposal between Waldorf and the city. There was a committee that worked 9 months very, very hard with members of the city council and library board and the administrator and mayor. And they looked at several possibilities of what could be done to increase our space. And the recommendation was that we move into Waldorf's University Library and share space with them. And we would be increasing our space. And then a lot of the public has asked about parking. That's been a big concern.
Yes.
And there will be special parking reserved for the public library. There is space around the library at Waldorf to put in a parking lot. And so as we go forth with this proposal, there is a need for public input. We want the public to serve on some of the subcommittees, you know, to help us out. There will be seven committees set up, and it, you know, really want it to be something in between the community and Waldorf that we can be proud of.
Can you give us an idea of, if you know, when this might come to fruition?
I don't have a clue. There is so much, especially in, you know, the legal contracts to be set up first. And then, you know, there's going to be issues with staffing and scheduling because there is a college, well, university rather. I'm used to college.
I know.
But it's like they go on breaks. They're open Sunday. We're not open Sunday. They're longer hours. So staffing, you know, we'll be having all of our staff move into the library, so we're not losing any of our staff.
Okay.
And they're short of staff as a university right now. And so, you know, they would be looking forward to have some more staff to help out with everything.
Well, that sounds like a great fit then. What are your initial reactions to that?
I was like a deer staring into the headlights. It caught me and several other people off guard. But it's like, you know, I knew something had to come. I just didn't realize it was going to be a sharing position. I always thought we would be adding on to the library. And, but the cost got so out of control to move into the Four City Foods or to add on to the north part of the library.
I see.
That it was just not feasible. And it's like, do we stay and make do with what we have?
Right.
Or do we keep looking for ideas?
I hope that this works. So, and I'm sure you do too. So, but you do have some strong feelings that it could be a really good fit.
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful. So, that's great. That's great.
There's a lot of positives that can come out of this. Just one of the things, like with the kids programming, Waldorf has education majors, and they can help with the programming for the kids. And then I'm not sure what the spacing will be when we move into the library, but there would be room for the kids.
So, Krista, you have been in the librarian field for a long time. What kind of training, may I ask, did you have to become a librarian? And the second part of that question is, were you a librarian somewhere before taking a position with the public library?
Okay. The training is, I went to Mankato State and got my master's degree in library science, which is something that they really want librarians to have as directors. The state also has a program where you can, you know, get all the training for a director, but it's, you don't receive the master's degree.
I see.
And they want a strong undergraduate, and mine was in history, so that really helps with research questions. And then the state offers CEs for certification.
Okay.
And so we have to be certified with 45 CEs every, well, within 3 years. And
can you explain for our audience what you mean by
continuing CEs? Continuing education.
Okay, so then you have to take additional courses.
Yes.
Yes.
And the state offers those.
I see.
And so some of them are 1.5 hours.
Okay.
Last week they had a special Iowa Library online conference, and I got 7 credits out of the day because it went from 9 to 7 at night. Very long day, but wonderful, wonderful training that they provide. And previous experience, I was at Waldorf. I worked in the Waldorf Library for 16 years.
Oh, my goodness.
So I started in Salveson Library.
Oh, my gosh.
And then they built Voss Library.
Yes.
And so I worked there.
Yes.
And so That 16 years was like added to my 25, makes for a long time in library.
Yes.
I also worked with Lloyd Thorsheim in the high school library.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, and, Lloyd, yes.
And did a lot of sorting of books and actually the record collection. And when I went to Luther, I worked in the library and put in cards in the card catalog.
Oh, my gosh.
I had to look up. And I also vacuumed the library in the morning. So I was up at 6 o'clock vacuuming a three-story building.
Oh, my God.
But it had a plus. I got to do the sections that I was doing research papers on and got to study which books I would like to come back and check out.
There you go. So there was a plus to that vacuuming.
Yes. So I have been in libraries for a long time.
My gosh. That is quite an extensive history.
Well, then I have another job that kind of snuck in there between college and starting at Waldorf. I was a law enforcement dispatcher. So a lot of people do remember that. That, you know, put me through my college years working there.
Oh, my gosh. How long did you do that, may I ask?
I was 14 years.
14 years.
So, and then while I was working as a dispatcher, the interesting tidbit is we had a couple jailbreaks, same month, you know, 3 weeks apart. I was involved in the second one. They came and they actually locked me in a cell and ran out, but one of the guys didn't escape, got the keys and let me out, and then we had a manhunt for the three that escaped. So I decided, you know, it could be, you know, just as secure out on the street as it was inside. And so I became the first female police reserve in 79.
And
I did
my
that for
goodness.
11 years.
Yes.
So that's a little bit of my secret past. For those that don't remember that. You know.
So as a police reserve, how does that work then? You're just on...
Okay, I can only remember what it was when I was there because you know, things have changed greatly in law enforcement. Mm-hmm. But I had to do all the training that everybody else did, from weapons to nightstick. We had, you know, range training, first aid, you know, was a first responder.
Yes.
And we did patrol on the weekends, and as reserves, we had scheduled once a month
and
did a shift.
I see.
And then we did emergency call-outs, we did Pucker Brush, Winnebago Rally.
Yes.
So
yes.
We were very involved in the community.
Mm-hmm. Ever thought about going back to that?
I still have an interest in, you know, what goes on.
Yes,
and,
yes.
You know, but I don't think I could do it right now, you know, age-wise, even dispatching.
Yes.
There is so much that has changed with that.
Mm-hmm. The technology of that, I'm sure, has changed tremendously. So as a dispatch then, were you the one who got the phone calls about emergencies and my dog has escaped the house and I don't know where it's at and that type of thing?
Yes. I could write a book. You know,
why don't you?
I write the great book of what happened when I was dispatching.
My cat's in the tree. I don't know. But
No, we had dogs escape. In fact, I had to call once when I and my dog decided to go wandering at 11 o'clock at night and I let her out. And yes, we had to take the emergency calls, and it was very hard to take the ambulance calls, you know, when, you know, a serious accident and calling the officers and the ambulance out, domestics, and alcohol violations.
Yes, yes.
It, you know, everything you could think of probably was called in at one time.
Yes.
You know, I like the ones when we have a blizzard and they would call in, can I go to Walmart? No, they just have blocked the exits out of town. You're not going anywhere.
You should have got your eggs and milk beforehand.
Correct. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and it was fun.
Yes, yes.
You know, I worked under Doug Book and
Quist
and Don Vold, and so I had some very good mentors that helped working throughout. Mm-hmm. And if you guys remember way back that are listening to the radio, Harold Peterson, he was, Will Pete, you know, was one of the main dispatchers and on the reserves.
Okay.
And So we did a lot of training, and Lester Goranson and I were buddy-buddy. And,
yes.
You know, if we had a problem, we were always listening to the scanner. And,
yes.
And when the weather was bad, we would run up and help each other.
Yes.
So we were a close-knit little family, too, mm-hmm. just like we are right now at the public library.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, everybody yes. on staff is mm-hmm. like family.
I'm sure so. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you are. That means a lot. So what are the hours for a person who hasn't been, unfortunately, to the public library here? Which days of the week are you open, and what are those hours, Krista?
Okay. We're open Monday through Thursday, 10 in the morning to 7 at night, mm-hmm. and Fridays we're open 10 in the morning to 5 in the afternoon, and Saturdays 10 to 2.
Okay.
We are closed on Sundays and the major holidays.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. So if a person comes in there and they want to check out, say, fiction and nonfiction and magazines, is there a cap or a limit as to what you can check out at one time? Just talking about the nitty-gritty of the library.
Yes, we have a limit of 5 books per person.
Okay.
And 2 DVDs per family.
Okay.
Just because of the mm-hmm. numbers of material that's checked out.
Yes.
And, you know, if you have a family of 5, they have 25 books that they will be checking out. They're checked out for 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Okay.
And then you can renew them if nobody else wants them, like a book on reserve.
I see.
And mm-hmm. it works out very well.
I'm sure it does. How can you keep a DVD out then for 2 weeks then, too?
Yes.
Okay.
All the same. Everything's due the same time.
I see. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. You don't have to think about returning the DVD yes. in 3 days.
Yes. Yes. And once again, if it's your clothes, you have an item that they can leave the DVDs in.
We have an outside book drop.
Yeah. Book drop. There you go. That's what I meant to say. Okay, good. Thank you.
Yes.
So that's always helpful then, too.
Yes.
Yes. So do you find a lot of people, if that's a fair question, who come in to use the internet?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, we have right now 5 public internet stations.
I see.
And when I left, there was 3 people on the 5.
Okay.
To come out to the station.
Mm-hmm.
So it's used. People bring their laptops in. We have had this week 2 people with their laptops doing, don't get involved in what they really are doing, but, you know, they're doing some kind of paperwork study is what it looks like.
I see.
And so we have that. Mm-hmm. We had another gentleman that was working on his homework and a degree, and he was here every day sitting. We have a little desk,
mm-hmm.
Probably for a month.
Mm-hmm.
So he
mm-hmm.
would come in at 10, and he'd leave about 5.
My goodness.
So, wow. He was a dedicated mm-hmm. Library user for us.
I'm sure of it. And do you have people who come in who like to peruse the newspapers?
Yes.
We still have newspapers.
Yes.
So.
Yes, we have newspapers. So we actually have, of course, the Globe Gazette Des Moines, mm-hmm. the Summit, and we have Garner, Clear Lake, Lake Mills, and now a patron is bringing in the Buffalo Center, and is it Thompson? I'm not sure. She just started. It might be the Algona paper,
okay.
But I know it's Buffalo Center.
Okay.
But she's donating to the library.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Krista, with your great expertise when it comes to being a librarian, what, and this again is a question I ask all my guests, what made you decide, Krista, to stay in the North Iowa area? It sounds like you've been here your entire life.
Yeah, I've been here
all my life. Okay, may I ask, were you born here?
Yes.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
So you haven't gone far down the road.
No.
Okay.
No. No, I mean, the farthest I went to college was Mankato.
Okay.
And Luther. So I like Forest City. You know, I'm in the family home. My dad and mom designed it, and so I just haven't moved out of that. I have a sister that lives in town.
Okay.
And she had 3 kids, and they're all married with kids.
Yeah.
And so they're all in the area. So, mm-hmm. you know, we stay involved as a family.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Forest City, there's a lot of good things that go on. We mm-hmm. might have, you know, some negatives that we need with housing and businesses.
Mm-hmm.
But I still like Forest City.
Mm-hmm. I do, too. Mm-hmm. That's great. So you don't envision moving to a metropolitan area, then?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, I like small towns.
I do, too. I do, too. Mm-hmm. But I do love to visit large cities.
But oh, I do not. Mason City's big enough.
Okay, well, some people consider that a metropolitan type area, so I guess you could go from there. So what do you like to do in your free time, Krista? I'm not going to say the stereotype response of reading.
Yes, I would say that. I'd say free time is hard to come by, you know. For when I work, you know, till closing at 7, there isn't much chance to do stuff. But I do read a lot. I think I've got about 3 books going right now at home. I also like to sit down and play the piano. I'm the pianist at the First Congregational Church. And so when I sit down to practice for church, I grab a book and just keep playing from page 1 until I'm, you know, tired out after an hour or 2
yes,
hours.
Yes.
So
yes.
I've kept up on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to color.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So it's very relaxing.
Mm-hmm. Do you do coloring with the actual crayon, or do you like to do it on your phone with an app?
Yeah, I use a pencil.
Okay.
Pencil,
oh, okay.
And then, trying to start with markers, but I still prefer the pencils.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's relaxing for you?
Very.
Oh,
it's
yes.
addicting.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
but a good addiction, though.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Everybody's got to have something to do.
Oh, absolutely.
It's very relaxing, you know, to watch the colors come together on a page and to sit and think, you know, what color do I, you know, do the leaves of the tree? Is it, you know, spring, summer, fall, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a decision-making process, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I used to go camping. I used to fish, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As time has aged me, that kind of fallen by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up camping and fishing.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, age has caught up with all of us, it seems, Krista. So.
Yes.
I don't know any of us who are getting younger, even though some people think they are. But
right.
So, Krista, you have covered a vast amount of information for us today, and I learned so many things about the workings of the public library. And here's a final question for you, Krista. Can you tell our listening audience how, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but how the public library started in the United States?
Oh, my gosh. I know there was the Carnegie Libraries.
Yes.
And there's still a few in existence.
Okay.
I'm really not right on the moment.
Didn't Thomas Jefferson? Wasn't he the...
I don't know if it was Jefferson or Ben Franklin.
Yeah. I don't know either, so we're both okay. It doesn't matter. You don't need to.
Yeah, it's... there's a lot of...
Yes.
History.
Yes. Oh, and the other thing I wanted to share with you, Krista, is I saw some special on, I think, CBS Morning one time about the future of libraries. And they were showing these metropolitan libraries where you could check out gardening tools. And you could, they'd have like agricultural displays in there, and just lots of different changes that we think about from a so-called traditional library with the advent of technology, I guess.
There are several libraries in Iowa that have the different items, like you mentioned, with the gardening tools, the power tools, sewing machines.
Yes.
They have had sports equipment, you know, for like volleyball.
Yeah.
And seed, you know, seed gardening is very popular in a lot of the libraries.
Mm-hmm.
Cake pans, I think, started it, you know.
My goodness.
People that had all the fancy cake pans,
Wanted
them to libraries.
Yes.
And so if you needed Elmo or Winnie the Pooh, you went to the library and got your cake pan.
Oh, my gosh.
We do not have the space to do that.
No.
Even if moving to Waldorf University, we
don't. No.
But it does exist.
Yes. Yes. So, as we know, the modern public library is evolving.
Very much so.
Very much so. Yes. Wow. Well, anyway, Krista, you've been a delight, and thank you for being my guest today.
Well, thank you, Scott.
You are most welcome, and I wish you continued success as the librarian.
Thank you.
All right. So, folks, there you have it. Check out your public library in Forest City. It's a beautiful place. Read, watch, become knowledgeable. It's a gift. It's a gift that keeps on giving. With that, I will say adieu. Bye-bye.
You've just heard another installment of Mr. B's Neighborhood. Tune in to KIOW Mix 107.3 every second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 5:30 p.m. for Mr. B's Neighborhood. Missed a show? Or want to re-listen to one? Find episodes in podcast form at KIOW.com. It's located on the right-hand side of the homepage. Mr. B's Neighborhood, available at KIOW.com.